Welcome to the Day at Indy and the Marshall Pruitt podcast, presented by Cooper Tires and supported this month by our friends at Bell Racing Helmets USA. I am sitting here with a man who is no longer P33 on the grid, James Davison. Man, huge improvement in performance today for your AJ Foyt Racing, Bird Racing, Hollinger Motorsports, Bilardi Racing, Newman Haas, Andretti Green, Ferrari, McLaren, Force India,
Fassett Coin, Sullivan, yes. Carpenter, Fisher,
Carpenter, Hartman. Fisher, Penske, Schmidt, Peterson Motorsports, Chevy.
with Felix.
Yeah, with Felix Sabates.
Oh, that one.
All of my natural stupidity aside, tell me, mate, about what's been, what must have been, and what must be a crazy couple of days of your life. I mean, the proverbial roller coaster, you've been on that sucker hard.
Yeah, hard. It's been an amazing life experience this last 48 hours that I'll for sure always remember. And glad that I went through, just because overcoming adversity is one of the greatest things I think anyone can do in life, and doing it with a fantastic team and group of people that it takes to make the dream work. You know, teamwork makes the dream work, and it's so true. It really is. And, you know, after Friday, we obviously had a massive accident. We were struggling for speed. We had to try something to go quicker and went too far with it. You know, I've always had a warning on ovals if the rear end's going to break out. And in that instance, there was zero. I was backwards, and then I knew we were going to hit something.
Wow.
And did we hit something hard?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that beat me up a bit, and I was pretty sore. Even last night, some more pain was coming, but not bad. You know, I just had to tough it out. And while all that was happening, obviously the team had to rebuild the car. We went into bump day, obviously, you know, really being skeptical if we were going to make it or not, because we knew we were struggling even with all the primary parts on the car. But what was the backup parts on the car going to be like? Usually they're not as good. So, look, we ended up quicker than four cars, which was good, and we didn't have the perfect balance. So basically the setup that we ran today, where we ran a 227 on the first lap, is what we had bolted on the car sitting in the qualifying line yesterday, but we just didn't want to withdraw our lap until we were on the bubble or out. And so obviously we made it. We know how all that played out, and then that was the only way that the crew was going to be rewarded for all their hard work. And then again, to move up 14 positions today was just another reward for everyone. And it's just it's a fantastic feeling. And, you know, it's obviously you always want to win, right? But when you barely make the race and then you bump yourself halfway into the middle of the grid, it's a really great, it's gratifying. And I owe it to this team. And you know, I pushed to get Steve Moore hired, our team manager. I had a fantastic experience with him at KV Racing.
He extremely experienced,
highly respected, just a great attitude as well. And he's hired a flawless group of people. We've had no issues with our car mechanically,
just the idiot thrown in the wall, but he can't protect that.
I mean, we know where we went wrong there. We had too much turn in the car,
if I didn't give you a hard time, you'd think there was something wrong with me, so come on now. Well, I mean, look at this, right? We've got your teammates Tony Kanaan P10, Matthias Lais P11, your P19. I mean, considering all you have gone through in the last 48 whatever hours compared to all they haven't gone through, no wonder you're in such a happy place right now with a big smile, because instead of being, like, as you mentioned, if you were 33rd on the grid, you wouldn't be surprised. And not because you didn't believe you could be better, but just the conditions, what you've gone through, you haven't exactly had as much time to perfect the car. I'm not even sure if your car, if Tony or Mateus climbed in your car, I'm not entirely confident they would be 10th or 11th on the grid. So there's a reason for you being as you're the happiest 19th place qualifier I can remember in many, many years. We'll just put it that way. Let's talk real quickly. You being a Bell athlete, I'm sure you're more than proud for me to mention that today's podcast is supported by our friends at Bell Racing.
Yes, sir.
If you're in town this month for the month of May for the Indy 500, please stop by their new store located on Main Street in Speedway. It is genuinely just right out of the main gate. They are synonymous with safety, innovation, performance, and engineering excellence. Bell is trusted by more champion drivers than any other brand, and they even trust you. So, I mean, they're generous people, James Davison. So stop and get some merchandise and check out Bell's new facility today. So among the many reasons I wanted to have you come in and join me at the end of this wacky weekend of qualifying, one of the themes we've been going through with a lot of the drivers we've spoken with this week and, you know, team managers, you name it, the difficulty in extracting performance from this car with the new Universal Aero kit.
Yes.
Tell me about what you experienced from behind the wheel, both trying to find speed and then during your four-lap run today. Was this thing happy beneath you? How hard were you having to work on the steering wheel?
Yeah, well, at least today we had too much COP in the car. From
center of pressure.
Center of pressure. We were at 40, so my car was so pointy. I had to be so...
Let's talk about that real quick because not everybody knows what center of pressure means. So if you think of balance, say if you're just standing and you are either on the balls of your feet or on your heels, center of pressure is a very similar phenomenon with the aerodynamic downforce of the car. And so through tuning, you can either move that center of pressure forward. So essentially the car's on its nose. There's more weight on the front, again, like being on the tips of your toes. Or you can dial it back so you're on your heels. Talking about having a little bit too much center pressure on your toes, what does that make your heels want to do?
Yes.
It wants to come around on you.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that it's dangerous running too much COP, especially when it's windy. So, yeah, we accidentally had too much COP in the car today, and it was fortunate that it wasn't too windy. Otherwise, I may have had a big snap moment like Ed Jones did. I'm not sure that that was down to COP with those guys, but that could have happened. And, to answer your question about the aero kit, yes, it is massively sensitive to ride height and rake. The window is so, so much smaller. I've seen a Pratt Miller graph of the old aero kit, the 2015 to 17 one, and then this new one, and it's literally a tenth of the size what the window is in options.
Wow.
Is from what I saw, it was massively different. So,
which means finding that window,
yeah,
that's going to be hard.
Yeah. So what we actually did today was we had more downforce in the car, less negative rear wing angle than what we had yesterday. So surprisingly, you'd think that'd give you a lot of drag, but yeah, you don't lose as much drag per pound of downforce that you lose to make it really efficient to go, you know, pretty much maxed out. So that also gave me peace of mind going into qualifying today because I thought, okay, this should be easy. But then I could feel my car was pointy on the outlap. So
wow.
I was like, oh, this isn't, I got to be careful with this one. So, yeah, I just had to be super smooth with it and using all the road. And, we had a great run and just really pleased with the team and my engineer, Kyle Brannan, who worked with at KV in 2014.
He and was, I grew up in the sport in the late 80s, early 90s.
Nice.
I've known Kyle forever.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And, you know, his last gig before this was full season with Dale Coyne, and I guess Gabby Chavez was driving there for the majority of the time. So, yeah, he's pretty current, you know. He's only just had 2017 off, and he learnt a lot. And, you know, he only arrived here in Indy on Sunday and then had to try get up to speed with all the new things and software. And, I mean,
That's not too strange of a story for a one-off entry. Yep. I mean, and that's, again, I'm not trying to, you know, add too much sugar to the story here, but that's maybe just another layer of the challenge or complexity that, an indie-only team or even a one-off team faces. It's not like you're like, we're just ready to go and let's rip off 232s. You know, you got your engineer showing up the day before, you know, a day or two before you're rolling out, having to learn everything.
Yeah, everything. I mean, all the crew are going to be different. Generally, right? Because personnel move from team to team. So what is the chemistry going to be like? And Steve Moore's gathered a fantastic group of people. The chemistry's awesome. There's a few, probably more gray heads on our team than, younger guys. And, you know, there's nothing like gray head experience. They've been there, done it, and seen it all. And it just gives me so much confidence being behind the wheel and knowing they've built me the best possible race car that they can and a safe one. And, obviously a lot of teams had to get their cars done at the 11th hour due to delay in parts coming. And, Monday was a bit of a scramble for everyone before we started on Tuesday. So, these crew guys, you know, I'd like to say also that, you know, they're the real stars of the show, I see. You know, they're the ones that build the cars that the fans love, you know, that produce the speeds, you know, combined with the driver, of course, but they build fast cars. They keep us safe. Obviously, they know that a mess up on their end could be catastrophic for us. And their workmanship's incredible. They work very long hours, a lot of time away from their family. And then obviously then they put themselves at massive risk in pit lane during the race. Which,
don't run them over, please. Yeah, I'm just asking.
Exactly, which obviously I've been a part of a very unfortunate situation on that front in 2015, where we had an unsafe release, and obviously with the best of intentions to try get out of the pits, and accidents happen. But two guys got hit, and actually one of the guys that got hit is the crew chief on my car.
Wow.
So I mean, talk about full circle. And just a massive amount of respect for the crew guys. You know, they deserve just as much praise and pay and everything that goes with it as the drivers get. And obviously, as a driver, we get to just have fun with their workmanship, really, when you look at it all. So, always appreciative and respectful of my crew, and really make an effort to build good team chemistry and make sure I let them know that their work is appreciated.
One of the things I've always appreciated about you, James, is you are yourself. There are some drivers, some people who try and present what they think the correct version of themselves should be, put on airs. You've always just been who you are. And I have appreciated that about you. Your press conference yesterday about, being the last driver into the show, best one I've heard all month from anybody, because it was you just essentially being who you are, but laying yourself bare, right? Look, I'm not, my last name obviously has great historical importance in motor racing back in Australia, but I'm not here with bags of money. I'm not here because of privilege and wealth. You're a kid who has driven really hard and earned the confidence of a lot of people to want to get behind you. Just tell me a little bit about this chance for you to engage the full Indy 500 media, which, you know, might have been the first time you had a full room of folks just getting a chance to get to know you. Did you enjoy that? What was that like?
Yeah, it is. And really, I've noticed a big difference after obviously jumping in Bourdais's car last year. I knew when that opportunity came up for grabs, of course, under the very unfortunate circumstances that it was, that it could have be a potentially career-defining opportunity. And obviously, it to date, it's turned out that way. I got in a fast car, and we got from the back to the front and fought as hard as I could to try win it. And obviously, like many drivers and the majority of drivers that start this race came up short, but you know, I went down giving it everything, and that has helped me get into this with this opportunity now. And you know, I thought you know, things couldn't probably get too much better, but obviously with the bump day deal, then that's given me another kind of a push forward, overcoming that adversity. And yeah, I look, I'm a confident person. I fight for what I want to set out and achieve in life. Some people don't like that, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. But you know, that's who I am, and it's my greatest asset for success on and off the track. You know, life's very competitive these days in basically every discipline. And I think, you know, when I look at a guy like Joseph Newgarden, he's a fighter. You know, he gives it everything, and I respect that. And I got to say also, I grew up idolizing Juan Montoya as an IndyCar driver, because he had more determination than anyone. He didn't care what people thought, and yeah, he was there to win. And I love that about Montoya. And
you were very disappointed when you met him as a person, though, right? Like we all are. Like, oh, my God, this guy's just a train wreck.
Yeah. So, look, yeah, everyone's different. Everyone has different upbringings and backgrounds, and that stuff needs to be appreciated. And, you know, that's kind of what rolled on after qualifying yesterday, you know, when you know, I was interviewed by someone, and
yeah, I was going to ask, did you get any grief for your statements about not feeling too heartbroken for Mr. Hinchcliffe missing the show?
You know, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had probably 2/3 of the fan base back me. I've had an Indy 500 champion back me, and you know, in the end, this is a rivalry. You know, we're 33 grown men and women doing battle on a racetrack in high performance race cars that are essentially jet fighter planes on wheels, you know, and everyone's striving to achieve their own goals. And but out of it all, you need to respect everyone. And you know, by a couple of individuals, I haven't been, and I don't do well with that. Whether people don't like it or not, I just don't do well with hostility and disrespect that's uncalled for. And yeah, that's the kind of feisty side to me. And yeah, I don't, no regrets with that.
I don't know if I ever want to see you and Hinchcliffe fight. That might
No.
Laugh, that's actually. Not, that might be one of the cutest. Not, you know, that'd be known as a pillow fight.
That would never happen. No.
Of course
no,
not.
Look, I do. I've always respected Hinch. You know, we grew up together, you know, in the junior formulas. And, you know, I'll put it this way. I remember well when he was the unestablished, you know, friendly guy to me. I remember that. And I think that's all I need to say.
Let's close on two items, James. Before we finish on mindset and approach for tomorrow, final day of like full big practice. Obviously, we have carb day, but that's always a bit of an interesting thing. Let's talk about the slash team that you have of the Foyt slash Bird slash Hollinger slash Bilardi.
Slash Newman, yes, Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan, Carpenter, Fisher, Hartman, Vassar, Sullivan,
see?
Newman walks.
I so want to see that T-shirt. Tell me about the folks that have come together to make this happen, because this is, it's unique, right? We're not totally surprised if we see one name added to a program, but this is a pretty cool and significant group of people that came together to support you.
Yeah.
What's that like, having four or five bosses plus super techs on top of the pile? Yeah. He'll smack you if he doesn't like you.
Yeah. Well, look, I met David Bird after the race in 2014. He approached me and introduced himself and said, hey, what was your experience like with KV? Because I've done a deal here to run a driver next year. And that's where we met each other. And then we just kept in contact. And after the race last year, he came straight up to me in the garage area and just said, dude, that was awesome. I've seen enough. Let's do something together next year. And right there and then, I had that required backing behind me that you need to have to get a ride done in advance. Then with Brad Hollinger, I met him at a track day at Watkins Glen in the summer of 2015. He had two old Indy Lights cars there from the kart era, like the Luis Diaz Telmex cars.
Wow.
So that got my attention. And walked in the garage, and there's this guy there talking about how he'd just come from the Canadian Grand Prix and was this and that with Williams. And I said, oh, ask someone, like, oh, who's this guy? And it's like, oh, it's Brad. He owns part of the Williams Formula One team. I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, yeah, you can Google it. And so, yeah, I introduced myself to Brad and told him I'd been racing Indy Lights at Watkins Glen, and I think, you know, had gotten the pole back in 2009. He's like, oh, do you want to jump in one of my cars then? So I jumped in his car and, yeah, just kind of helped him. So that's how he and I met. And he's an extremely busy guy with his healthcare company, Vibra Healthcare. They operate over 60 private hospitals across the nation.
Lord.
And senior care facilities. And
mental health care, too. I've heard you're one of their number one clients, so that's a good thing for sure.
You and
Robin. He's taking pity on you.
You and Robin
are a
cracker.
I told you we're going to give you the business. Come on
now. No, I'm all for it.
And what about Brian Ballard?
Yeah, so Brian.
He might be, and no disrespect to your others, but we've been wanting Brian to get that foot into IndyCar. This is an awesome first step.
So in 2015, so the same deal, I introduce myself to him at Barber because I thought to myself, surely there's a couple of Indy Lights team owners that want to move up to IndyCar, but they don't have the financial means to do it by themselves. But they may be able to at least contribute to be a part of it. And surely enough, I got Brian's interest, and 2-3 years later we ended up doing something together, and it's awesome for him to get involved just at a toe level, you know, ankle level, water deep, look, he's been able to pull off sponsors out of Wisconsin, where
he's the best.
Yeah, and that's obviously something you can't quite do in Indy Lights, because to the majority of people, what is Indy Lights? And they know what the Indy 500 is, right? It's obviously on the opposite end of the scale of any other race with its exposure. And so Brian's essentially been able to do this and raise some of his own sponsors to contribute for it and not dig into his own pocket. And it's just fantastic how that's played out. And yeah, I just, I basically behind the scenes, I'm a hustler. I go to historic races. I help a lot of these older gentlemen drivers out with their 70s Formula One cars and awesome old Le Mans prototypes.
You're like vintage racing gigolo, aren't you, James Davison?
I've been fortunate to drive some amazing cars, like Doug Mockett's Penske that won their only Grand Prix in 76.
Yeah, a friend of mine restored that car.
Yes, I remember.
John Anik.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
You blame him for my deficient personality.
Yeah, and you know, just recently I drove a 93 Ferrari 333 V12. You feel like you're John Alesi, you know, screaming and freaking lighting up the rears out of the corners at Sonoma. It was awesome. And so these guys, you know, I've help them out, and then they've been interested in helping me out and being a part of the Indy 500. And obviously it gives them a good lifestyle to come to some exciting races and go through the youthful experience of competition in their older age, and obviously be on the grid with Roger Penske and Juan Montoya, or, you know, who, Elio Castro Neves, you know. And to some of my, I brought some of my sponsors on the street parade with me last year, and they're like, you know, you don't understand, like, we couldn't get this opportunity elsewhere.
Wow.
And so I thought, well, you know, I guess that, yeah, I kind of could appreciate that. And yeah, just, I've worked really, really hard behind the scenes, basically, from when I didn't catch the right breaks after I finished Indy Lights back in 2009. And, you know, I did it that year with, like, Hinch and JR, Sebastian Saavedra, Martin Plowman, Pippa was in there, Anna Beatriz. I'm trying to think of all Indy guys, Charlie Kimball. And, yeah, look, if you don't have the funding behind you, or the you know, the big break, like, I guess, Newgarden got, or Hildebrand with the National Guard, what have you, it's a very difficult hole to get out of. And I guess the vast majority of drivers just can't really be bothered with the perseverance, the uncertainty of it, having to go out and hustle and try find partners or the right technique for it, and
it's,
they
not
give
an
it
easy
up.
Lifestyle,
and, yeah,
right? Because no, you either you give up and move on, or year after year you're scratching and fighting to stay in.
Yeah, and or just cut your losses and go to college, you know. And so I persevered until I was 26, and obviously you're starting to get closer to 30 there than 20. And wow, I don't have a college degree, but I just always backed myself. And, you know, I remember Will Power saying to me, he just said, dude, you know, a driver like yourself, if you just keep performing, something's going to happen for you. It's just the way it works out. And I didn't need him to tell me that, but I just remember him saying that, just, and it gave me a little bit of reassurance. And surely enough, that happened, and got, you know, paid sports car gigs for a number of years. And look, actually, coaching Milka Duno with Dale Coyne Racing in 2010 was really what helped me get a start with Dale Coyne, because he knew how I did in Indy Lights. He saw the perseverance and drive that I had and the lengths that I would go to try make the IndyCar dream work. And then surely enough, in the middle of 2013, the year where Conway was doing a few road courses there, and I think he won Detroit, and Anna Beatriz was driving the car also, that yellow car.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow and blue and orange car.
Yeah.
That seat opened up for Mid-Ohio and Sonoma. And Mid-Ohio was my best circuit in Indy Lights. I won there twice. And, yeah, got offered a deal there and had to bring the smallest amount of sponsorship. And you know, it really just goes back to having to do the hard yards and, you know, driver coaching and networking and... yeah, just I've worked really hard. That's just the tip of the iceberg, really. I remember being here in 2014 and lining up in the ticket building to pick up tickets for my sponsors, and then dropping them off at all the hotels downtown and making sure everyone's logo placement on the car's right. And I'm still doing it, literally. I'm having to do all that kind of stuff. I just don't arrive and drive. I'm not, you know, just a spoiled brat or whatever that some people may think.
Oh, you're a brat. You're just not spoiled. Come on now.
Yeah, just I really work hard at this, and it's all worth it. And yeah, look, the past 48 hours have been some of the most incredible of my life. I've had the biggest accident. And, yeah, overcoming that adversity with a great group of people in the end just makes it all worth it. And of course, the Indy 500 is the greatest race in the world, the greatest spectacle in racing. I'm totally prepared to go all in with it and to win it. And so is a number of drivers, or the majority of drivers. So yeah, it's all worth it.
Well, Miller and I are thankful. You know, we're confident you did actually suffer a concussion because you have come up here and spoken to us a couple times. But, you know, that's fine. Let's close on what your tomorrow is going to be like and then actually just a little bit of what the week's going to be like before we come back for Carb Day. So you're obviously part of a three-car Foyt family.
Yep.
How much is your Monday going to be plugged into being a part of that? Maybe three-car tows? How much of on an island are you guys?
Yeah, I need to speak to Mateus and TK about that. I got to say also, TK's been really good. I've been really happy to be his teammate. You know, we haven't been around each other a lot because obviously the ABC cars are in separate garages to us, but he's been a great guy, as has Mateus. And, you know, Tony's told me things that, you know, over and above what I may have expected him to. And yeah, he's a really good guy, Tony. And so I really have appreciated that a lot. I do recall on a practice day earlier this week, we were talking about doing a run all together. So I hope we can do that tomorrow. I think it just builds team chemistry and trust in each other for the race if we find each other on the track.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be the same objective for everyone, isn't it? Everyone's going to be trying to get their front ends to work, and it's so difficult to date to get the front end of the car to work in traffic compared to the old car. So you get a massive slipstream with this car, but it's so difficult to create forward momentum through and off the corner because you're having to lift so much. Mm. And it can get so bad. I think, what day was it? It was Wednesday. I couldn't follow within 20 car lengths of a car without having a lift. And I'm telling you, 20 car lengths. And that was representative on the speed chart. I couldn't even get a good toe, you know? How you really get a good toe in practice is you start off 30, 20 car lengths back and you flat the whole lap and you just keep sucking up. And then by the time you're coming to start finish, you're basically in sixth gear with the thing nearly on the rev limit or on it, and you're about to pull out and pass the car in front of you that's in a, like, whatever, five-car train. Yeah, I couldn't even do that. So that, I guess, can show you how important your mechanical front grip has got to be. The car also can get pretty pitchy in traffic when you have to dump the throttle abruptly because of your whole backup and accordion effect. So yeah, you gotta be careful.
This sounds like it's gonna be hairy.
Yeah.
I mean, how's this? Robin and I, after qualifying, spoke to a couple drivers who said if it's really hot on race day, this could be scary.
Yeah, Will Power told me the same thing. He said it's going to be such a difficult race, and I can totally agree with him. And yeah, it's so hard right now for, I'd say, 80 to 90% of the field to pass. Basically, I've heard that unless you're in the top three cars in a train, you just can't pass. I haven't had a car yet to date to really pass anyone unless I've been on brand new tyres out of the pits, and every time Jay Howard and I have found each other. So I always like running around with Jay. He's a great guy. Yeah, so that's going to be the objective for everyone, to try get the front end to work. And yeah, that there is a huge amount of parity in race trim compared to qualifying.
So when you're done tomorrow, are you on a plane shortly thereafter as part of the media tour? What's your Tuesday and Wednesday like?
Yeah, so I'm being sent to Cincinnati.
Oh, you're a lucky guy.
Yeah, I know. I don't need to jump on a plane. And so I remember I went to Dayton, Ohio with Brian Corson in 2015.
Oh,
Fort
cool.
Wayne with Jay Howard last year. And Arnie.
Oh, you got Arnie.
And 14, I think all the rookies went to Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville. We went to the Slugger Museum and got bats made. So, yeah, I've always just been driving distance, which I think that's nice, isn't it? You don't need to jump on a plane.
They don't trust you to get through TSA. That's what it tells us. So, do you know who you're? Are you going solo, or you have another driver going with you?
To be honest, I don't know yet.
well, we're going to pray for whoever they pair you up with, a poor person. They're enjoying their week until they get to Cincinnati with you. And then what, you guys come back, you have the media day here where all of us idiots ask you the same stupid questions over and over again. Then we get into Friday, carb day, and then you go make your money on Sunday.
Yeah, it's always the most exciting week. And it's pretty, it's just very opposite what week one and week two is like. Week one is so hectic. You're on track every day. You have to get ready for qualifying. Obviously, you have to make the race these days. And again, re-qualify and hang it out again on Sunday. And then you don't even have a day off. You go practice again on Monday. But then after that, obviously, those days off, all the hard work's been done. Your establishment's been made and the form guide set. And you just do a few more tweaks on carb day and a real easy day on Saturday and the street parade. And
We know you love your parades.
What do you mean?
I'm just going to leave it right there. All right, Davison. Well, thank you for joining us here for this Day at Indy podcast of ours, and I hope folks who didn't know you got to know you a little bit better. You're definitely one of the folks I would hope fans would root for, because like I said, and like you said, you have been busting your behind to try and not only make this career happen for yourself, but year after year you keep digging and getting a little bit more ground. So I just think that's a pretty cool story among those who've been blessed to have multi-year contracts and a little bit more security. So congratulations on qualifying 19th. And, hey, you're not 33rd again. You don't suck as bad as you used to.
Yeah. I actually had to earn it this time, didn't I? I mean, I had to date, I guess prior to yesterday, I'd started three Indy 500s and qualified for one of them. And they were all on default because, two of them I didn't qualify for, with Sebastian and Tristan Baudier having been in the car prior. And then there were 33 cars in 2014. So, to actually make it in and then bump us like 14 positions again, that was fantastic.
James Davison, thank you, brother, for joining me on the Marshall Pruitt podcast, presented by Cooper Tires and supported this month by Bell Racing Helmets USA.
Yep, great helmets.